Your favorite things feel made for you. Your education should too. University of Maryland Global Campus, formerly University of Maryland University College, was made to serve the military and working adults like you. Today, we continue that tradition by offering frequent start dates so you can get started with convenient online learning that fits your schedule, by recognizing your accomplishments with credits you can earn for what you know, by providing no-cost online resources replacing most textbooks because a college education can fit your budget too, and with no SAT or GRE required for most programs. University of Maryland Global Campus, made for you. Last year, we awarded more than $15 million in scholarships to qualified students, including community college students, service members, veterans, and working adults just like you. Discover how we can make your education and your goals for the future a reality. Visit us at umgc.edu. That's umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Hi, I'm John Bearer, the host and lead researcher for Stories of Sacrifice, American POW MIA podcast, and the U.S. POW MIA Family Locating, a free forensic genealogy public service I provide to support POW MIA families trying to get their loved one identified and brought home. First, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your interest in the Stories of Sacrifice podcast. Our goal with the podcast is to tell the world about the sacrifice these brave heroes gave for the freedoms we enjoy every day. They gave our country their last full measure. They give us their tomorrow for our freedom today. Second, we would like to raise public awareness that thousands of these heroes from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the Cold War have still not yet been found or returned to the United States, with many still buried as unknowns in our own national cemeteries, their families still waiting for our government to disinter and identify them. So what can you do to support this important mission? First, if you are a relative of a missing in action service member, you can visit the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency website for more information about providing a family reference DNA sample. If you want more information, you can also contact me at john@uspowmiafamilylocating.com. Even if you're not related to an MIA, you can contact your members of Congress to request they allocate enough funding to support the POW MIA mission and to change the DPAA policy to a DNA lead process and create additional public partnerships to disinter and process the remains for those that are buried as unknown. You can also help us in our mission by sharing these podcast stories with your friends, family, and consider sharing them on your own social media. We would also appreciate if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can also visit www.storiesofsacrifice.org and leave us a review there. You can visit our affiliate links on our website where we will earn a small commission on your purchases and no extra cost to you. If you feel moved to do so, please visit our donation links on our website to help us continue this important mission. Just sharing these stories helps us greatly, and we cannot thank you enough for listening. Sit back and relax, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to Stories of Sacrifice, World War II American POW MIA's podcast, the voice of the missing in action and the voice of those buried as unknowns in our national cemeteries. I'm your host and lead researcher, John Bearer. Thank you for joining us on Stories of Sacrifice, World War II American POW MIA's podcast. Today we're bringing you a four-part series that has been done by our friends at BatanMissing.com. It is a four-part series about the first Medal of Honor recipient of World War II, First Lieutenant Alexander Sandy Nininger, who was consigned to the grave of an unknown soldier by the celebrity of the Medal of Honor. Currently, the remains of the Medal of Honor recipient not identified because the Army can't unscrew their screw-ups. In the early dark days of World War II, America needed something to feel good about, and the courage of First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger was just the thing. Sandy came through for America, and American bureaucracy returned the favor by consigning his remains to eternity as an unknown soldier. Ironically, Ira Cheney and Alexander Nininger were best friends at West Point. Both died many miles apart and days apart, only to be reunited in death by the deception promoted by their former commanding officer, Colonel George S. Clark. In his Medal of Honor citation, it stated, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty in action with the enemy near Albuquerque, Bataan, Philippine Islands, on 12 January 1942. This officer, though assigned to another company, not then engaged in combat, voluntarily attached himself to Company K, same regiment, while that unit was being attacked by enemy forces superior in firepower. Enemy snipers in trees and foxholes had stopped a counterattack to regain part of the position. In hand-to-hand fighting which followed, Second Lieutenant Nininger repeatedly forced his way to and into the hostile position. Though exposed to heavy enemy fire, he continued to attack with rifle and hand grenades and succeeded in destroying several enemy groups in foxholes and enemy snipers. Although wounded three times, he continued his attacks until he was killed in action after pushing alone far within the enemy position. When his body was found after recapture of the position, one enemy officer and two enemy soldiers lay dead around him. Just as Colonel Clark's self-serving deception preventing the identification burial of First Lieutenant Ira Cheney, as you listened to previous episodes of my podcast, it also ensured that five of First Lieutenant Cheney's comrades, Lieutenants Nininger, Maynard, Green, Compton, and Wilson, would also become unknowns. With the complication of the award to First Lieutenant Nininger of the Medal of Honor, their cases became hot potatoes that no one wanted to touch, even with overwhelming evidence of the identity of their remains. Sandy Nininger and several of his comrades were recovered, just as were most of the Bataan casualties, by Master Sergeant A.B. Abraham. Master Sergeant Abraham was quite a colorful character in his own right. He had fought on the left flank of Cheney and Nininger's 57th Infantry at Albuquerque. He knew many of the officers and men of the Philippine Scout units. After more than 3 years as a prisoner of war, he was personally selected by General MacArthur to head up the recovery and remains on Bataan. Married to a Filipina lady, he spoke the language and understood the local population. After his return to the States several years later, Master Sergeant Abraham wrote two books about his experiences in the Philippines. Nininger was prominently mentioned, with no indication that there was anything unusual about the recovery of his remains. This was a routine recovery until Washington insisted that they knew more than the people on the ground in the Philippines. The first page of the X-Files 1130 file shows that A.B. interviewed the local gravedigger, who stated that he had buried five Americans in the Albuquerque Cemetery in January of 1942. Based on this information, on 8 January 1946, the remains were disinterred and transferred to Manila No. 2 Cemetery, where they were assigned the X number 1130, with the notation that they were possibly Nininger. There is no existing record that tells us what information Master Sergeant Abraham relied upon in determining that grave 9 was Nininger's, but the nearby graves in the same row were identified either by name on the grave or by reference to records. As an example, grave number 2 was identified by the name on the cross. The cross was illegible on grave 14, so the remains were identified from the number on the ID tag and reference to records. Grave number 7 was identified from the name on the cross. X1130 was found in Soldiers Row, grave 9. As the investigation progressed and additional information was obtained, a report of interment was prepared and updated with different typewriters and pens as information became available. According to the report of interment, the means of identification was described in an attached letter that the Army somehow lost and is no longer with the report of interment. By February 13th, 1946, the investigation was complete and X1130 had been preliminary identified as the remains of First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger. The identification was then presented to a board of officers in a quasi-judicial proceeding convened by local command, where all the evidence described in the attached letter and all the witnesses pertaining to the identification were available. The board unanimously recommended that the remains of X1130 be identified as First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger. On 27 December 1948, the local commander transmitted transmitted to the Memorial Division in Washington, D.C., the findings of the Board of Officers with his recommendation that X-1130 be identified as the remains of First Lieutenant Nininger. The Memorial Division rejected the board's recommendation for two reasons. First, the estimated height for these remains did not agree with First Lieutenant Nininger's known height. Number two, information received through the family from Colonel Clark that indicated that First Lieutenant Nininger had been buried in Grave 9 of the Abacade Churchyard. X-1130 remains had been recovered from Grave 9 of the nearby Abacade Town Cemetery. The first reason given for disapproval of the recommendation to identify X-1130 as Nininger was that while the dental comparison was not unfavorable, the estimated height of the remains didn't match his known height. However, these estimates were later proven to be badly in error of the actual height. In the early 1950s, Professor Mildred Trotter, an anthropologist at the Department of Anatomy, Washington University, published a series of academic papers based on her work at Schofield Barracks Mortuary, identifying the remains of World War II American casualties. Professor Trotter found that the formulas and tables previously used in the identification of American servicemen had been based on observations of a 19th century French population, and they substantially understated the actual ante-mortem height of modern American servicemen. Colonel Clark had specified that Nininger was buried in Soldiers Row, Grave 9, of the Abacade Church, and X-1130 was found in Soldiers Row, Grave 9, of the Abacade Town Cemetery. Perhaps that was just a coincidence, or perhaps someone confused the locations, which were only a few hundred yards apart. Both were cemeteries, and both were in the town of Abacade. The Memorial Division noted in the similarity of the grave locations and asked if the Abacade Churchyard and Abacade Cemetery were one and the same location and directed further investigation. Colonel Clark had struck again. First, the remains of Cheney, now Nininger, was missing because Clark had provided incorrect information on the burial that occurred when he wasn't even present on Bataan when they died. As a note, that X-1130 remains had been redesignated as X-4685 when they were removed from Manila Cemetery 2-2 to the Manila Mausoleum. The local Graves Registration Command, in an unprecedented move, reinvestigated the case as directed by Washington, convened a new board of officers, and again presented to Washington the recommendation that the X-1130 remains be identified as those of First Lieutenant Nininger. This time, they added an explanation of why they didn't believe that First Lieutenant Nininger had been buried in the Abacade Churchyard. First, they noted that the churchyard location was provided by the father of one of the other officers, who stated that First Lieutenant Nininger, Maynard Wilson, Compton Green, and Captain Mayer all had been buried in the churchyard. They then noted that the records First Lieutenant Nininger had been compared with all remains recovered from the churchyard with negative results. Further, the remains of Maynard, Wilson, Captain Mayer all had been recovered from other locations and positively identified. The obvious conclusion was the churchyard burial location was clearly erroneous. The board's report then explained that the remains recovered from Grave 9 at the churchyard had been identified as Philippine Scout Private First Class Bales, Army Serial Number 6738585, by means of an identification tag. Further, First Lieutenant Nininger's dental records didn't compare favorably with those remains. The report stated that X-4685, previously X-1130, remains recovered from Grave 9 at Abacade Cemetery were those of First Lieutenant Nininger, unequivocally recommended their formal identification as such. Undeterred by the recommendation of the second board to consider the case, the Memorial Division in D.C. again disapproved their recommendation based on additional information they had received from Lieutenant Colonel Ralston, indicating that Nininger had been buried in the Abacade Churchyard and that X-1130 remains were recovered from Abacade Cemetery. The local command was instructed to reinvestigate the facts of the investigation for the third time and submit a report. It was later found that Lieutenant Colonel Ralston never claimed to have been present at the burial of Nininger or others, but simply stated that the burials had been made in the churchyard. After the third investigation on 7 March 1950, Local Graves Registration Command in the Philippines submitted a point-by-point discussion of the issues raised by the Memorial Division with regards to Lieutenant Nininger. The resubmitted recommendation noted the probability that the body of Lieutenant Nininger was buried in Grave 9 of the Abacay Cemetery from where unknown X-4685, previously designated as X-1130, was disinterred. On the other hand, it is also probable that the team which made a recovery of unknown X-4685 might have arbitrarily named the place of the recovery as Abacay Cemetery, since it is a cemetery and it was in the town of Abacay. It is believed that the agreement in the grave number is sufficient basis to establish the association of this unknown with Lieutenant Nininger, since two probabilities clearly exist with regards to the exact place of burial of the deceased. The Philippine command didn't equivocate when they stated, in view of the above, it is the opinion of this headquarters that the remains of unknown X-4685 are in reality those of Lieutenant Nininger. The board proceedings are being returned herewith for a reconsideration by the Memorial Division. Washington was not to be deterred until they got what they wanted. They wanted off the hook for botching the identifications of these five young fine officers. They knew that Nininger's Medal of Honor would draw intense scrutiny of everything they had done, and that kind of attention never good in the Army. The Memorial Division quickly directed the Graves Registration Command to conduct another reinvestigation and reconsider what was their third recommendation to identify X-1130, also known as X-4685, as Nininger. The Graves Registration Command in the Philippines was determined to put this case to rest, and they pulled out all the stops, thoroughly excavate the Abacay Churchyard. They sent a detail of 25 laborers, one embalmer, and their supervisor to Abacay. The search detail dug trenches 2 feet wide, 4 feet deep, every 3 and 1.5 feet in the churchyard. They recovered the partial remains of 18 persons and returned them to the Central Identification Laboratory for processing. The 18 remains were examined by an anthropologist, and all were determined to be of Philippine ancestry. Despite the recommendations of two boards of officers and an extensive excavation of the churchyard, on 12 September 1950, the Memorial Division got what they had demanded. The remains of First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger were officially declared non-recoverable. The Graves Registration Command had the last word, though, insisting that X-1130 and X-4685 remains were those of Nininger, but the recommendation had been rejected, and they reiterated that Lieutenant Colonel Rolston had not been present at the burial. Just 17 days later, the remains were quickly laid to rest in grave J-7-20 of the Manila American Cemetery. Under the means of identification, they added Nininger A.R. Jr. 023761. A few weeks after Sandy's burial, on October 1950, Captain Vogel of the Memorial Division began his investigation that revealed that Colonel Clark had provided incorrect information on the burials of Ira Cheney, Alexander Nininger, and several others. Without Colonel Clark's erroneous information, the X-1130 X-4685 remains likely would have been quickly identified as those of First Lieutenant Alexander R. Nininger, as recommended by the review board. Clark trying to comfort the families? Was he trying to rehabilitate his reputation by implying that he was present when he wasn't? Or did he simply make a few honest mistakes, perhaps confusing Cheney and Nininger, as saying Cheney was buried in Abacay and Nininger was buried in Grave 9 of the churchyard, when he was actually buried in Grave 9 of the nearby cemetery? For whatever reason, Clark had provided incorrect burial information. The Army had an even bigger problem. At this point, the Army knew they had a big mistake. Even if the facts of overwhelming evidence that it was correct, Washington had chosen to cling to the information provided by a disgraced colonel. Clark's incorrect burial information had caused someone to wrongly be buried as First Lieutenant Cheney at West Point, and Lieutenant Compton's Green, Maynard, and Wilson, and First Lieutenant Nininger, a national hero awarded the First Medal of Honor of World War II, to all be buried as unknown. Part 2, The Classified Cover-Up. If the facts don't fit the theory, change the facts. If you still don't like the facts, just hide the evidence. That's exactly what the Army's Memorial Command in Washington did. They had received conflicting information as to the burial location of a hero who had received the Medal of Honor. They dared not to be wrong, so they ignored all the facts and did nothing, just covered up their tracks. In spite of the repeated investigations conducted by the Graves Registration Command in the Philippines, Washington chose to overrule their recommendations and rely on the testimony of a discredited officer who wasn't present and whose testimony had repeatedly been found to be incorrect. When it was learned that they had picked the wrong horse, Washington declared the remains to be non-recoverable, told all the witnesses to toe the official line, and then they classified the records as defense secrets. Within days after X-1130 was laid to rest as an unknown in the Manila American Cemetery, the Memorial Division in Washington began an investigation into the facts. They interviewed all the presumed witnesses to be witnesses to the burial of First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger. They found that none of them had actually been present and quite tellingly carefully avoided talking to those who were present. The first person who was interviewed was Colonel George
I have been fed, that's a fact.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's Paracash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Clark, who had commanded the 57th Infantry Regiment Philippine Scouts at the time of Nininger's death. Clark had been relieved of his command, the ultimate disgrace for a career officer, and ordered to the island fortress of Corregidor before Nininger, Wilson, Compton, or Green were buried. If he had information on the burial locations, it was secondhand because he was not present. Clark left the Philippines on the last submarine out and made his way back to the United States. While the war raged in the Pacific Theater, Clark was in touch with the families of some of the men he had lost. We'll never know if Clark was trying to redeem his tarnished image or somehow comfort the families, but he told them in a flowery language that their sons had been buried in the Abaque churchyard rather than the actual burial sites. The families accepted Clark's incorrect information as gospel and shared it with the Army and their congressional representatives. The Army's Memorial Division not only believed Clark's information as it was coming from the families and members of Congress, they continued to stand on it to this day, even though it has been repeatedly shown to be false. The next to be interviewed was Lieutenant Colonel Anders. He explained that Clark had been relieved and had left Bataan. He unequivocally stated that Clark had not attended the burials. In the later interviews, Anders stated that he and Major Francis were the only ones present for the burials. And while Anders first placed the burials at Abaque Churchyard, he later confessed to some confusion about the burial locations. Major Sanders, another officer of the 57th Infantry, informed the investigators that Major Francis had assisted the chaplain with the burials and would have been present for them. Next to be interviewed was Major John Olson, who said that Lieutenant Colonel Anders and Major Francis attended the burial services. When interviewed a second time, Lieutenant Colonel Anders confirmed that he and Major Francis were present in Nininger's burial, but again demonstrated some confusion about the burial locations. In light of the fact that the Abaque churchyard had been repeatedly excavated and the remains were not found, it's pretty obvious that they were not buried there. The bottom line at this point is that, number one, the burial locations given by Clark were incorrect. Only Major Anders and Major Francis were present for Nininger's burial. Major Anders stated that Nininger had been buried in Abaque Churchyard, but showed some confusion about the locations. The churchyard had been excavated at least three times. Number five, Major Francis was not interviewed by the Memorial Division investigator, but later placed the burials at Abaque Cemetery, not the churchyard. If they had yet been convinced that Nininger, Wilson, Compton, Green, and Maynard had not been buried at the Abaque Churchyard, the investigators conducted by the Memorial Division should have removed all doubt. However, rather than to admit their error and accept the identification of X-1130, X-4685 as Nininger's remains, they chose the coward's choice and did nothing except conceal the records. Part 3, Nininger. What classified files? We don't have any classified files. Not deterred by inconvenient facts, Washington was sticking with Clark's bogus story about the burials at Abaque Churchyard, even though it had been thoroughly excavated without finding additional Americans. The Nininger family was equally determined to recover the remains of their son and bury him at home. The investigation conducted by the Memorial Division had recommended that each of the families be personally visited and briefed on the facts of the case. Since both of the families in the Army believed Colonel Clark's story about the burials in the churchyard, it wasn't difficult to sell. Perhaps if the families had been shown the documents identifying the X1130, X4685 remains, or the classified investigation report, not have been so quick to agree. The Nininger family was the most concerned that nothing further would be done if the case was closed, but were assured that they would be notified if any remains were positively identified as their son. Of course, the Army didn't intend to look very hard. While the Army may have considered the case closed, the Nininger family certainly didn't. They continued to collect information and interview members of the 57th Infantry. By 1966, Sandy Nininger's nephew, John Patterson, joined the fight. Mr. Patterson, a career Foreign Service officer, John was organized and able to effectively organize the information he collected. There's no record that the Army even responded, but in 1986, John Patterson had gathered a huge volume of documents and spoken with those who were present in Nininger's death. He wasn't relying on Clark's bogus information, and he found someone who actually attended the burial. He requested that the Army reopen the case, and in support of his case, provided a summary of the case and information from witnesses the Army knew about but never interviewed. Patterson obtained a copy of Nininger's individual deceased personnel file and found two references to a classified file under the name of First Lieutenant Ira B. Cheney. In 1985, Patterson requested a copy of the classified file referenced in his uncle's IDPF. The Army responded flat out and denied the existence of a classified file pertaining to either Cheney or Nininger. This classified file was the key to providing that Clark's information was incorrect and the understanding the actual burial process. What's more, the file showed that Washington was aware of the facts, but classified them as secret to conceal them. No wonder the Army wanted to keep that file hidden. In 1986, Mr. Patterson requested the Army reopen his uncle's case and provided information on witnesses the Army had previously avoided interviewing. However, the Army had known since at least 1951 that Major Garnet Francis had attended the burial and pointedly avoided interviewing him. The Army refused or neglected to follow up with Major Francis, and he passed away a few years later. However, they had the map created by Major Francis that John Patterson had sent them. In 2012, the Nininger case came to the fore again, and a young historian, Gregory Kumsky, was assigned to summarize the progress. Mr. Kupski's report summarized further investigations of burials in the churchyard and also noted that John Patterson had supplied information from Major Francis, an eyewitness who placed the burials south of the river in the Abacay Cemetery area where the X1130, X4685 remains were recovered. The churchyard had been thoroughly excavated, multiple search teams without finding the remains Clark's reported had been buried there, yet the Army's professional bone finders didn't think it necessary to look elsewhere. No one thought it might be a good idea to interview Major Francis either, not many creative thinkers at the DPAA. Mr. Kupski seems to have forgotten all about Major Francis' information when he testified in court a few years later. Part 4. Doing the same thing and expecting different results. On May 25th, 2017, the families of seven MIAs filed a lawsuit in federal court demanding the return of the remains of their missing family members who they believed were buried as unknown in the Manila American Cemetery. The lead plaintiff in this litigation was Mr. John Patterson, nephew of First Lieutenant Alexander R. Nininger. He had been researching the case since before most of the government experts were even born. The lead expert for the government, Mr. Greg Kupski, the historian who had prepared the 2012 summary, noting that only eyewitnesses had placed the burials at the location south of the river where Abacay Cemetery was located and from where X1130, X4685 remains had been recovered. Mr. Kupski stated that X1130 came from Grave 9 at the Abacay Cemetery. Mr. Kupski stated that the Abacay Churchyard and the Abacay Cemetery were often confused with each other. He further stated that the remains identified as First Lieutenant Cheney were disinterred from the churchyard on the basis of Clark's information. Mr. Kupski's opinion was that Colonel Clark's information was the primary basis for the American Graves Registration Service to associate X-1130 remains with First Lieutenant Nininger, and that Colonel Clark placed the burial in Grave 9 of the Abiquay Churchyard, and X-1130 was recovered from Grave 9 in the nearby Abiquay Cemetery. Mr. Kupski is unclear as to where X-1130 was first associated with Lieutenant Nininger. He thinks the report of interment form was used as a worksheet, and the information was added as it became available. Mr. Kupski suggests that the attached letter referenced on X-1130 report of interment was Colonel Clark's information, as provided in a letter from the Nininger and other families. Mr. Kupski assumes, without evidence, that the attached letter was based on Colonel Clark's information, and there was no other information identifying X-1130. He completely neglects to mention that Colonel Clark's information had been totally discredited, both because Clark had not been present at the burials, and that multiple excavations of the churchyard have proven to be incorrect. There is no evidence to suggest that the American Graves Registration relied primarily on Colonel Clark's letter, as suggested by Mr. Kupski. American Graves Registration recommendation explained that they actually discounted Colonel Clark's information because it had been found to contain errors as to other burial locations. Mr. Kupski's 2017 declaration did not mention the eyewitness Major Francis, or that he placed the burial location south of the river opposite the church. Neither did he mention that the Abiquay Churchyard had been repeatedly and thoroughly investigated. The government has always insisted that their objection to the exhumation of a grave is their belief in the sanctity of the grave, and then once interred, their remains should not be disturbed. Many of the unknowns recovered from Bataan had been previously interred and disinterred, first from their grave on Bataan, then moved to a central cemetery such as Manila No. 2, then the Manila Mausoleum, and then to Fort McKinley Cemetery, now known as the Manila American Cemetery, managed by the American Battlements Monuments Commission. Then at the Manila American Cemetery, unknowns were often disinterred from the back row of a plot to fill an empty grave at the front of a plot, all for the convenience of the government. So much for the sanctity of the grave objection. The government wasn't so concerned about the sanctity of the grave in 2017 when they broke open multiple tombs at the Abiquay Churchyard with no more evidence than an internet post by an anonymous person. A few months after the government was sued by the families, they undertook an ill-conceived project to try to find the remains of First Lieutenant Nininger in hopes of making the lawsuit moot and getting themselves off the hook. Not being real good at original thinking, they were still convinced that he had been buried at the Abiquay Churchyard. Neither the fact that it had been repeatedly excavated, nor that the source of the information had been totally discredited, deterred them. They had a solid lead this time, no less than an authority than findagrave.com told them exactly where to look. DPAA sprung into action when they were alerted to a findagrave.com post by a member using a handle anonymous that First Lieutenant Nininger was buried in a tomb in the Abiquay Churchyard. The basis for the post was a plaque on the tomb identifying it as a grave of Alexander Ramsey Nininger Jr. Sparing no expense, DPAA broke open 5 above-ground tombs in the Abiquay Churchyard. The net result of their efforts was to disturb the graves of some local citizens interred there. Apparently, you just can't rely on those anonymous plaques anymore. Here is the DPAA's report of their investigation of the tomb. Background: 22nd October 1917, during DPAA's field activity 18-1PH, Recovery Team 1 conducted a forensic exploration of several above-ground mortuary crypt chambers in the St. Dominica de Guzman Church Cemetery Yard, site RP-00180, a cemetery burial site correlated with World War II, 01800-G loss incident, and possibly containing the remains of First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger in the municipality of Abiquay, Province of Bataan, Luzon Island, Republic of the Philippines. Crypt Chamber 10 was covered by a plaque centered on 2 chambers, making it appear as a single chamber. The plaque was reportedly placed sometime after 2006 by relatives of First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger and a group associated with the U.S. Military Academy. We're not republishing the photos of the human remains recovered from these tombs, as none of them belong to Nininger. The only thing provided by this boondoggle was that the government shouldn't argue about sanctity of the grave, because this is an empty phrase to them. So what do we know at this point about the burial of First Lieutenant Alexander Nininger? The gravedigger said he buried five Americans at the Abaque Cemetery. Other officers interviewed state that the deputy commander of the medical detachment, Major Francis, would have been present for Nininger's burial. Major Francis said that Nininger was buried south of the river where the Abaque Cemetery is located. The government's lead expert, Gregory Kupski, is aware of Major Francis's information, but is careful not to mention him in his 2017 court declarations. Major Francis passed away several years ago without ever being interviewed concerning his knowledge of the burials, but his letters survive. Remains X1130X4685 were recovered from Abaque Cemetery. Their American Graves Registration Command repeatedly insisted that these remains, X1130-4685, should be identified as Lieutenant Nininger. The Memorial Division in Washington repeatedly disapproved the recommendation because of Colonel Clark's discredited information. Colonel Clark's information had been repeatedly found to be incorrect. The government expert relies on unsubstantiated assumptions to avoid examining X1130-4685. At one point, he even states that those remains were recovered from the churchyard rather than the cemetery. Colonel George S. Clark, the disgraced former commander of the 57th Infantry Regiment, reported that 1st Lieutenant Nininger had been buried in Soldiers' Row, Grave 9 of Abaque Churchyard. When Colonel Clark was not present when Nininger was buried, and the source of his information is unknown. The Abaque Churchyard has no area known as Soldier's Row. The Abaque Churchyard had been thoroughly excavated multiple times without result. The remains of only two Americans were recovered from these excavations, Captain McCurdy and 1st Lieutenant John C. Compton, both who had died at Abaque Hacienda. There was a row of graves of soldiers buried outside the church wall. Grave 9 in this row was identified as Philippine Scout Private First Class Beals by the means of his identification tag. So Nininger could not have been buried in Grave 9 at the churchyard because someone else was found to be in it. X1130-4685 was recovered from Abaque Cemetery, Soldiers Row, Grave 9. The remains of 1st Lieutenant Nininger, Compton, Maynard, Green, and Wilson have never been identified. Perhaps just as important is what we don't know. It is unknown why Colonel Clark would place the location of Nininger's burial at Abaque Churchyard, Soldiers Row 9, since there is no such location, or that this location existed. But even Mr. Kupski admits that the cemetery and the churchyard locations were often confused. It is unknown what evidence the American Graves Registration relied upon in determining that 1st Lieutenant Nininger was buried in Grave 9 of the Abaque Cemetery. Why did the government's expert neglect to mention that Colonel Clark's information had been thoroughly discredited, or that the only known witness to the burial placed it south of the river? Why did the government's expert assume without evidence that the attached letter referenced in X1130 report of interment contained Clark's information, and that was the basis for determining that Grave 9 contained Nininger's remains? There were only two reported locations for the burial of Lieutenant Nininger, the cemetery and the churchyard cemetery. The churchyard had been thoroughly excavated by multiple teams of searches. There was actually an eyewitness who placed the burial of 1st Lieutenant Nininger in the cemetery, but the Army had diligently avoided interviewing that witness or examining 1130 remains. Prior to the court's decision, the government agreed to disinter the graves, which the other plaintiffs' families asserted held the remains of their loved ones. Due to known commingling and conflicting records, there were a total of 41 graves to be disinterred. Kabatatuan POW Camp Grave 407 with 9 remains. Kabatatuan Camp Grave 704 with 8 remains. Kabatatuan POW Camp Grave 717 with 14 remains. Kabatatuan POW Camp Grave 804 with 4 remains. And 3 remains that were associated with Colonel Lawrence Stewart. And 3 that were associated with Brigadier General Guy Fort. Total graves disinterred, 41. While the government voluntarily disinterred, or at least they had not been yet ordered to disinter, 41 graves to resolve the other 6 cases, and despite overwhelming evidence that 1st Lieutenant Nininger and others were buried in an Abaque Cemetery, the government continues to insist that 1st Lieutenant Alexander Nininger is buried in a location they have repeatedly investigated without finding anything. Even after the embarrassment of breaking open 5 more graves with negative result, the government still refuses to further investigate the X1130-X4685 remains. One has to ask why. Thank you for joining us on this episode. We hope you visit our friends at the BatanMissing.com website and review their case documentation and the actual classified files that have been recently declassified and used in the lawsuit. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Stories of Sacrifice, World War II, American, POW, MIAs in the Philippines. This has been a production of the U.S. POW MIA Family Locating. You can find us on the web at uspowmiafamilylocating.com. Opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and given in the best intention. Overall, the POWMIA accounting community is doing what it can with limited resources. It is our hope additional federal funding will be provided, along with additional partnerships established to disinter and process the remains of our unknowns located in the national cemeteries. You can help by contacting your congressional representatives and asking that they implement a DNA lead policy for those unknown POW-MIAs. Thank you for listening.
You know when you order a new video game, or a golf club, or a blender, and then it arrives at your door, you get a little thrill. Imagine how much more thrilling it is when you order a new car. With Nissan at Home, you can shop for the perfect ride and order it without ever having to go anywhere. Sure beats a golf club or a blender. Buy a new car entirely online with Nissan at Home. Deliver direct from dealer to driveway. Thrill starts here. Services may vary at participating dealers, subject to applicable law. See dealer for details.
Everybody needs just the right amount of fuel to get going in the morning. For some, a nice McDonald's egg and cheese bagel is just enough to do it. Others might prefer a McDonald's bacon egg and cheese bagel. Or perhaps a sausage egg and cheese bagel. And there are those where nothing will do but a hearty McDonald's steak egg and cheese bagel. Four different breakfast bagels to get you going. Tomorrow morning, give your engine a head start at participating McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.